God is good, isn't he? And all by himself. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, you know, I love the book of Romans. That's the book that I had to do for my dissertation for my ordination, was the book of Romans. And I couldn't use any commentaries. I had to go through the whole book of Romans, you know what I mean, and give a dissertation for that. And it was one of the hardest things that I've ever done, but it was one of the greatest things that I've ever done. That book of Romans, I'm going to tell you something. It is really, really, really good. Really good. You know, one of my favorites is Romans 8:28. To know, not think, not maybe, not might, to know all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, work together for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Everything that God will allow to come upon us, for those of us who love him, he'll work it out. Amen? He'll work it out. Now, you know, when we're in the process of going through it, it's not comfortable at all. But once we get on the other side of it, we can look back and see what God, why God allowed us to go through what we went through for his glory. Amen? And we all go through stuff. As I say, we got three type of people in this room. Those of you who are in a trial right now, those of you who are just coming out of a trial, and those who are about to go into another trial and just don't know it. But God is with us. Amen. And he's given us everything that we need to go through these trials and tribulations. What I want to talk about today is, do you know who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you? You know, I say that all the time. And that's very important for you to know, especially in the days and the age that we are now. You know, with everything going on, you know, the murders and killing. You know, I just got a snippet of something. I think it might have been last night or earlier that 10 more people were killed in a mass shooting here last night or yesterday or something. You know what I mean? And you hear about it on and on. 11-year-old girl got killed down here in Syracuse a few days ago. You know, so it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't even matter where you are. At any time, your life can be taken away from you. But you need to be ready. You need to be ready. Not almost ready, or I think I'm ready, or I believe I'm ready. You need to know that you're ready. You need to know that you're ready. This is something that you don't want to enter into not being ready. Because there's no do-overs. There's no do-overs. So, you know, do you know who you are in Christ and Christ was there? You know, I tell you, throughout the years, people would come to me and say, how do you know that God is real? Have you ever seen him? No, nobody's ever seen God. How do we know that God is real? I'm glad you asked me that, because before you leave out of here today, you will know that you know that you know that God is real. He is not dead. Absolutely. He's very much alive, very much alive. And he's very much alive in each and every one of us, those of us who have yielded our life to him. But so many times we go through life and not realize that God is with us, Emmanuel, that God dwells within us through the Godhead of the Holy Spirit. He's always with us, day and night. You can't escape him. He's always there with you, always, for those of us who are in Christ. And you need to know that. And you need to know that he's right there with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's always there with you. And you need to know, how do you tell that he's there with you? In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. Did I tell you Romans 8:10? No. Amen. Well, and Vera got heat. Vera been out without heat for, I don't know how many, about 5-6 days. 6 days. She got heat last night. So praise the Lord. Yes. I tell you, you don't really appreciate things until they're gone. And then when you get them back, you appreciate it. Amen. So we need to be appreciating things before they leave. You know, thank God for the heat. Thank God for the lights. Thank God for the food. Thank God for the clothes you have on the back. Thank God for the roof that you have over here. Thank God for the breath that you breathe. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to be thankful for all things. Are you there? Romans 8 and 10. And if, that two-letter word, if, and if Christ be in you. That's where you need do you know that Christ is in you or not? Some people might say, well, I don't know, Pastor. Some people might say, well, yes, he's in me. And some people might say, no, he's not. But before you leave out here today, I want to let you know if he's not in you or if you don't know that he's in you, that you will. Because that's what gives us the boldness, not arrogance, not pride, but the confidence that we're in Christ and Christ is within us. When you get that down in you, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Do you know that? And God is love, you see. God is love. So when you know that you know that you know that Christ dwells in you, you don't have any fear of nothing. You should have no fear of anything. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Bless you. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Let me read that. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You know, when the enemy comes at me and whispers in my ear about my past, you know, because he comes at me with both barrels. Sometimes he whispers in both my ears, you know, about my past. You know, you're not worthy. Who do you think that you are? You know, up there preaching the gospel, all the things that you've done in your life. Who do you think that you are? You know, and if I'm not careful, I'll listen to that. But then all of a sudden, something will rise up inside of me and say, that person that you're talking about is dead. Is dead. Go out here to the cemetery out here on Washington Street and talk to one of them tombstones. Because that person that you're talking about is dead. Because I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. I'm not saying it arrogantly. I'm not saying it boastfully. But I'm telling you the truth. Christ is in me. And I'm in Christ. And I'm going to let you know how I know that in a minute. I'm going to let you know how you can know it in a minute. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Oh, let's stop here. But if the spirit, there's that word again, if. You know, God is not a person who's going to just come and jump on you or jump in you or to make you want to yield your life to him. He's not going to do that. What he wants you to do is he wants you to come to him and surrender him. And why? Because he loves you so much. We talked about that last week. He loves you so much. And so when you know somebody loves you so much, you want to do everything that you can to please them. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That same spirit that raised up Jesus out of the grave, it's in us too. You see, when we came to Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're a new creation. Some translations say a creature. I don't really like that I'm a creature, but I guess I am. You know, the Bible says you are. Amen. Because when we think of a creature, we think of what? A monster or something, don't we? You think of a creature. Yes. You know you're a creature? You too? We all are creatures. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are created in the image of God. But anyway, it says that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, he's talking to Christians, talking to us. Therefore, brethren, and you know when you say brethren, it means sistering too. Brethren and sistering. I don't know if that's a word or not, but is it sistering? Praise the Lord. All right. Brethren and sistering, we are debtors. You know what a debt? You owe. You are debtors. We are debtors. We owe. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, or be influenced by the flesh, or be directed by the flesh. Because why? Because those of us in Christ, we have mortified. He had mortified those sinful things in us. We are a new creation in Christ. Now, once again, once we are a new creation in Christ, we still have things that we do that's not right. Amen? We still do. Absolutely, we do. It says now, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let's camp here for a minute. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. What does that really mean? That means if you are living in sin, if you continue to do the things that you know that you shouldn't do, there's a place that was not prepared for you, that was prepared for Satan and the fallen angels. But however, if we continue on in a sinful lifestyle over and over and over and over again, that's telling me that Christ is not dwelling in you. You hear what I'm saying? Because it said here that if Christ dwells in us, the body of sin is dead. Now, do we sin after we get saved? Absolutely we do. Absolutely we do. But you don't continue to live in a habitual sin day after day after day after day. Before you say that you come to Christ, the life that you were living, and you continue to live it day after day after day after day. God forbid. See, you're deceived. So many people are living today or in church today that think that they're saved, but their life is not dictating that. When I first got saved, you know, I was doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. Some of y'all know what it was, you know, because I just come out the world. I'm brand new getting saved. You know what I mean? And I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And I remember the pastor coming over to the house and said, "You can't keep doing this." I said, "Why not, Pastor? I ain't doing a whole lot of it." Surely, you know, God will understand that. I done calmed down a lot. He said, no. He said, "You can't continue on doing this here." And so anyway, I didn't like that. I said, "I don't like that part of it." He said, "It ain't about what you like and what you don't like. This is not a buffet to get what you want and don't, you know." No. But after a while, you know, he didn't have to tell me that anymore. Nobody else. You know who told me that it was wrong? The Holy Spirit within me. You see, if the Spirit dwells within you, that conviction, even though you're doing wrong, that conviction will convict you that you're doing wrong. And so after time, you know, the things that I was doing was not as enjoyable or pleasurable. Even though I was doing it, it was not enjoyable. It wasn't pleasurable anymore. It got to the point where I didn't like to do it anymore. Then it got to a point where I didn't do it anymore because I knew that I was doing wrong. I knew that I was continuing to live in sin. And I knew that I was grieving the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't give me any peace, you see. That's how I knew that I knew that I knew something was inside of me. Because before, I would do dirt and mud and everything else and love it. Love it. Didn't bother me not one bit. But after the Holy Spirit came into me, "You can't be doing this, Mr. Man. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. You belong to God now. You've surrendered your life to Him. And so after you surrender your life, you know, He is your Lord now. And as your Lord, you have to do what he tells you to do, whether you like it or not. Huh? If you're a servant and your master tell you to do something, whether you like it or not, you're going to do it. So anyway, it got to a point where, that desires of things that I was doing was gone. And I'm so thankful. Just like smoking cigarettes. I know nobody in here smokes cigarettes anymore, knowing the dangers of it, right? Had one person say right. You know, and when I got saved, I was smoking cigarettes. And I knew that I wasn't supposed to be smoking cigarettes. But that nicotine demon, I'm going to tell you something, it's wicked. That nicotine demon is wicked. And I told y'all before, I would have breath mints. I'd put on high karate and brute. You know, trying to cover it up. You know what I mean? Trying to cover it up. But I remember one time I was either in Adams or somewhere, and I said, nobody from the church will see me here. So I'm in the car, I'm just puffing. And I'm at a stoplight and I look over and it was a member of my church. And I just dropped a cigarette in my lap. Now he saw me. He already saw me. You know what I mean? And I dropped that cigarette in my lap. And I'm like, hey, brother. He said, hey, brother, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm doing well. God is good. Yeah. And all the time, this cigarette is in my lap. Oh, my goodness. Whew. I'm probably the only one in here done that, ain't I? Uh-huh. Yes, yes, yes. You know, and once again, you know, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God delivered me from that nicotine demon, because that was wicked. That was wicked. I'm going to tell you, that was as much or it was real close for the addiction I had of drugs to be delivered from that. I'm going to tell you, that nicotine demon is horrible. You know, and if you're smoking, stop, because it ain't good for you. And it's not glorifying God. Amen. And let me tell you something. That high karate and brute and that mouth spray, that don't work. Because it's all in you. It's all in your hair. It's in your pores. It's in your clothes. Everything. So we know who's smoking. Stop it. Dennis. I'm just picking on Dennis. No, he don't smoke. Does he, Mary? No. All right. Mary would tell if she did. But anyway, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but after the flesh, but live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, we should die. But if through the Spirit, we should mortify the deeds of the body, and you should live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many are led by the Spirit of God, as many who live by the Holy Spirit living in us, we're not going to be perfect. We're not. We're all going to make mistakes and bad choices. But what I'm saying is, you know that you know that you know when you're doing wrong and when you're doing right. And when you do wrong, you don't keep on doing wrong over and over and over and over again. You know, once again, I got the scripture when I first got saved. If you ask anything in my name, it'll be given to you. If you confess your sins and ask God to forgive you, he'll forgive you of your sins. I got that, and I love that one. Because every time I did my little dirty deeds, I was like, all right, God, forgive me. Forgive me. You know what I mean? And, you know, every time, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, you can't keep doing that and think you got a license to keep sinning and God's going to forgive you, continue to forgive you over and over and over again. And you know that you're doing wrong and you keep on doing wrong and you're going to ask God to forgive you over and over again. The Apostle Paul did if you do that. That's not going to happen. But once again, the Holy Spirit within me, once again, told me and convicted me that that's wrong. That's wrong. But anyway, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and the daughters of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I love that. We have been adopted into the family of God. God is our Father. We are his children. You know, how good is that? That God took sinful people like us and adopted us into his holiness, into his righteousness. How good is that? That we have a Father now who is sovereign over everything. You know, for those who might not have had a father, you know, I didn't, dad was not in my vocabulary for 42 years. For 42 years. Didn't know my father. Had no idea, nothing about that. You know, so I didn't know a father figure or what it was like. But when God got a hold of me, when God got a hold of me, and the Holy Spirit revealed the living Savior to me and to God, to me, how much he loves me. That's when things started switching in me. That's when things started changing in me, because I knew somebody loved me. Because all my life, I didn't think that I was loved by nobody. I didn't. I thought I was unlovable. I thought something was wrong with me. Until God got a hold of me. He said, no, 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 son. You've created in my image and my likeness. Now you are my child. Now you belong to somebody. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you something. That made one of the greatest impressions that I've ever had, knowing that I belong to somebody. You see. Because when my mother died when I was 10, didn't know my dad. Didn't know love. Didn't know acceptance. When Jesus Christ got a hold of me, I'm going to tell you. It says, and the Spirit, this is where I want to go, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, not maybe, not might, not shall be, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, how good is that? That's how I know that I know that I know that my God lives. Because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit. You see, they're both in one accord. They're both in one accord. You see, before I came to Christ, I didn't have the Holy Spirit within me. I had a different spirit in me. But now that I've come to Christ and he put his spirit in me, now the spirit within me bears witness with the Spirit of God. There's a little story that I heard. There was a little boy. He lived up on a mountain. And he loved flying kites. So one day the wind was blowing pretty good. Now, once again, he lived up on the mountain, and he was flying a kite. He loved flying kites. And as he was flying the kite, the wind took the kite, and I mean, it went way, way up. Matter of fact, it went into the clouds. He couldn't see the kite anymore. And a man walked by, and he says, little boy, what you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite, sir. He says, well, where is it at? He said, it's up there. He said, how you know it's up there? He said, because every now and then I can feel a tug. Can't see it, but every now and then I can feel a tug. You understand? So I know that kite is up there. I got the string in my hand. There's a connection between me and the kite because I feel a tug, you see. That's how we know that we know that we know that God is alive. That's how we know that we know that we know that Christ lives within us. Because every now and then, we'll feel a little tug. Sometimes the tug is because we're not doing the right thing. But sometimes it's a tug because he just want us to know that he loves us. He just want us to know that he's always there. Even when we can't see him, even when we're in desert times, we're in storms of life, We're in perilous times. When we're going through it, don't seem like that we can go through it another day. Feel a little tug. Feel a little tug that God is with us. He's always there with us. Wherever we go and whatever we do, He's always there. He always let us know. Some of you might say, well, I've never felt a tug, Pastor. You know, the tug that God might have for you might be different from me. You see, sometimes your tug might come, you know, in a song that you hear. Everybody, has anybody ever heard a song that just ministered to you? The words ministered to you? Huh? I don't know if y'all remember Sister Isaiah. And you remember her sons, Hassan and Raymond, and her daughter? Raymond called me here about 2 weeks ago. He was so excited. He said, Pastor, he says, I'm a Christian now. Now, let me tell you something. His daddy was a pastor. His grandfather was a pastor. He grew up in the church. You know what I'm saying? He grew up in the church. He used to play the piano and play the drums here. He joined the Air Force. He called me 2 weeks ago. He was so excited. I said, Pastor, I am saved. And I said, well, what happened? He says, I was listening to a song. He says, I didn't even understand the words because it was in French. I'm telling you what he told me. He said, but it was something that came into me. He said, and my life has changed forever. I said, have you told your mama that yet? He said, no, sir. He said, I want to call you first and tell you. You know, because, you know, I was like the father figure when the mom and the daddy, they anyway. But that tug through a song. Or somebody might speak to you, you know, a word of knowledge or wisdom or something. You might be reading something in the Word of God. And that tug, that living word will just tug on you. Amen. You know, God has a way of getting that tug on with you. If you have something inside of you to tug. Huh? If you have something inside of you to tug. But if you don't, you're not going to feel it. You're not going to sense it. You know, not only is it a feeling, but it's a sense also. Something inside of you like, mm-hmm. All right, Lord. I feel you. I feel you, Lord. Yes, I remember, and I hope I don't embarrass this young man. I'm not going to say what his name is, maybe. But he was going through some medical problems. He had a procedure coming up, and he didn't want to do the procedure. He had a little fear about it. And then one day he was here, and he came to the altar, and he got a tug. And when he walked out of it, he didn't have no fear about having this procedure, because God tugged on him, let him know, I'm going to be there with you through this thing here. You know, I remember he told me that, you know what I mean? And he had such a glow. He had such a glow about him. He had such a peace about him, you know. Come on, let's do this thing here. Let's get it over with. You know, when they tell you they're going to cut on you, I'm going to tell you. For me, when you're going to tell me you're going to cut on me about something, you know, I know you're not supposed to have any fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. But I had a concern. Strong one. A strong concern. You know what I mean? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We're not supposed to have no fear, but. Oh, but how good is God? How good is God? For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. Oh, how good is that? If you're a child of God because of that spirit within you, then heirs of God, you're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we are suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. How good is that? Knowing that Jesus is our brother who sticks closer than a brother. How good is that? Knowing that God is our Father and Jesus is our brother, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, what more do you want? What more can you ask for? But see, if you're in the world, you don't know nothing about that. You don't even want to deal with that. But once we yield our life to Christ and that spirit comes within us, it gives us a whole new nature. We're a whole new creation. Whole new life. A whole new life. I'm so thankful that God got a hold of me when he did. It took a long time. I'd say 43 years. I'm a late bloomer. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And I know that you are also. I know that you're thankful also. Okay. All right. God, make yourself real to me. You know, that's what I tell the guys down at the jail, you know, because a lot of guys, they say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't think God is real. How do you know God is real? You know, and I say, when you go back to your cell tonight, when it's locked down, when they turn the lights out, I say, ask God to reveal himself to you and be sincere. Be ready. Be ready. You see, because a lot of them down there, they want God to be real to them because he wants them, want them to get him out of that jail. Oh, God, be real to me. Get me out of this and I won't do it again. I'll go to church. I'll pray. I'll read my Bible and all that. Huh? But that ain't real. But if you come and you are truly open and honest, Lord, make yourself real. To make yourself known. Let me know that I know that I know that you're real. Let me tell you something. Get ready, because he will. He will. If you are sincere about it. If you are sincere about that you want God to make himself real to you in a way that you know that you know that you know. You know, there's times I say, okay, God, unless you hit me over the head with a frying pan, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to believe it. And I tell you some of the times, boy, when God got on me, Lord have mercy. Y'all remember Sheila used to walk around with these dogs in the cart. She used to walk around, collect cans and stuff. She had the dogs in the cart and stuff, you know. And I thought Sheila was homeless. And I'd pull up next to her and I'd give her a couple of dollars out the window. I said, oh, God bless you. And she'd take the money and go on. You know what I mean? And so I remember one day that Sheila was walking with them dogs. And I saw her and the Lord says, I want you to bless Sheila with this. I said, Lord, you know this is my bill money. I said, you know, I got to pay these bills with this money. And he says, I want you to bless her. I said, I'll get her tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I started going down the street and I tell you, God spoke to me so strong. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was a snatch. It wasn't a tug. It was a snatch. Now give her twice as much as I told you to give her. Oh, and I tell you, and it took my breath away. Because this was my bill money now. And I said, Lord have mercy. So I stopped the car, turned it around. I made a U-turn in the street. And I went and she was going through this alley at that time. I went through the alley. I hit my brakes. My car slid. She jumped back and she's looking at me like all crazy. I said, Sheila, come get this money. Come get it now. I said, before he tell me to give you more. Oh. That was I knew that it was God. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't my imagination, because I ain't going to give nobody no money just because I imagine it. And I knew that was God. He was talking on me. And so anyway, I gave her that money and I'm going home and I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do now? It's my bill money, you know. And this is before I was a pastor. You know, and you know, it was tough. It was tough. You know, I'm eating ramen noodles, you know, and if I got a little extra, I get a little hot dogs put in them. That was good eating back then. put some meat in the ramen noodles. I said, I ain't gonna be able to eat ramen noodles or hot dogs, Lord. You took all my money. I got home. I was living over here in Huntington Heights. C4 was my apartment number. I opened the door and there was an envelope right there up under the door. When I opened the door, there was an envelope right there. And do you know, it was twice as much as I've given her. It was, and I still today don't know who gave me that. I don't. Today, I have no idea who put that envelope under there with twice as much to the dollar that I gave her. Oh, you talking about a tug. Not only a tug, but a hug. You know, it was like God was hugging me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. How many of you, God has tugged on you and God has asked you to do things and you just went on about your way? Huh? You know, be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because it said he will lead you into all truth and all righteousness. It said he's the comforter that will comfort you when you're going through whatever you're going through. You know, Sister Miriam, when she was going through the things that she was going through in the hospital, I know that she was comforted by God. And we have others that I've heard over and over and over again. When I was down and out, didn't think I was going to make it, I was comforted. I knew God was with me. I knew God was going to see me through this. You know, I lost a spouse, lost a child, lost whatever it might be. God is always right there, and he's going to comfort you to see you through this here. You know, here last week, I did 6 funerals in 7 days. 6 funerals in 7 days. I'm going to tell you something. That took a lot out of me. It takes a lot out of me, you know, because 3 of them were overdoses. And as I say before, when I do those, you know, and I'm seeing the parents, how they're weeping, how they're sorrowful, you know, I know exactly what they're going through because I lost a son to an overdose. But God, he got me through it. You understand what I'm saying? God, he brought me through that. He brought me through all those times, you know what I mean? Where I just felt just, you know, I'm up there and I know that I have to give words of comfort to the family members and loved ones to be there to minister to them. You know, all the time inside, I'm hurting. All the time, you know, I'm going through it again. You know, getting that call at 3:30 in the morning. You know, screaming and hollering that my son is gone. So I'm playing that over in my mind over and over and over again as I'm doing. But let me tell you something, God, the comforter, he comforted me. He gets me through it. So whatever you might go through, to know all things work together for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That little tug. His spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's how you know that you know that you know. Vera, come here. Turn around. Got the little fanny pack on. All right, now walk down there. Go on back and sit down. Go on, walk, sit down. Oh, wait a minute. Turn around. All right. Now go. Go sit down. Go on, sit down. Go sit down again. You see, so many times the Holy Spirit, especially if we're walking, that's the Holy Spirit calling. Right there. But sometimes when we're walking in the wrong direction, we're going to do the wrong thing, go sit down. In your chair. See, sometimes when we're doing the wrong thing, that Holy Spirit will tug on us. You know you're doing wrong. You know you're going in the wrong direction. You know you shouldn't be going in that place again. You know you shouldn't be looking at that anymore or listening to that anymore. You know you shouldn't be gossiping about that person anymore. You know you shouldn't be having unforgiveness and bitterness in your spirit. You know you shouldn't have a righteous spirit or self-right spirit about this and about that. You know that. That tug. And if the Spirit of God is inside of us and we're sensitive to the Spirit, we will stop. We will stop. And we'll go the other direction. We'll do what the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to do, into all truth and all righteousness. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Where I want to live. I want to be led by the Spirit to be in truth and righteousness. I want to be able to have ears to hear, not my physical ears. I want to have eyes to see, not my physical eyes. You understand what I'm saying? But I want my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears to be open. There's so much more out there in the Spirit of God than it is in the natural. Do you know that? When you get to a place where your spirit bears witness with his spirit, and he will open up your ears that you can hear things that you can, that you've never heard before. Your eyes have not seen. Your mind is not comprehended, not moved upon your heart, the blessings that God has for you. Do you know he wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed? Do you know that? But so many times we don't have ears to hear because we're listening to. We don't have ears to see, we don't have eyes to see what God wants us to lead us because we're. Oh. Huh? Come on now. Do you know what, if Christ is in you and if you're in Christ, do you know that today? Because you can know it. And if you're saying, I don't know, maybe it might. I hope so. Once again, it's not good enough. You need to know that you know that you know who you are in Christ. I am a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. You are my brother. I am a son of God or a daughter of God. That's who I am. Not maybe, not might, not hopefully, but I know that I am. How do you know it? That tug. Amen. God, I need to know that I know that I know. I need to know it, Lord. I'm not going to stop until I know it, Lord. So where are you this morning, church? And more so, where do you want to be? You want to keep on going about your day, wondering, maybe, might, or you can know that you know that you know. That I am a child of God. I can put my shoulders back and put my head up and speak it with confidence. I am a child of God. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not. But let me tell you something. I know that the Spirit dwells in me. I know that because it bears witness with his Spirit. That's how I know that. You ain't got to tell me nothing. You ain't got to say, oh, I know you're a Christian. No. We were talking about today, Brother Al was talking about, you know, he don't care what people say about him. Because he's not going to stand before you. He's going to stand before God. Right. And the same thing with me. I can care less what you think about me. I hope y'all like me, though. No. But if you don't, you know what I mean? That's all right, too. Because when I stand before God, you know, you ain't going to be on the side whispering in his ear. You're not going to be standing next to him. No. It's going to be me and him. It's going to be you and him. Amen? Yes. And once again, And if you ain't right when you stand before me, ain't no do-overs. There are no do-overs. So you need to get it right now. Seek him while it's still day. What he's saying, seek him while you're still alive. That's what he's saying. Seeking you shall find. Knocking the door shall be open. Asking you shall receive. He says, I stand at the door and... Is that what it's saying? But he says, but if you open the door, if you open the door, I'm not going to kick the door in. I'm not going to open it. If you open the door, he says, I will come in. All he's asking us to do is open the door. That's all. Not clean yourself up. Not stop doing this, stop doing that, or start doing this, or start doing it. He said, no. All I'm asking you to do is open the door, and I'll come into you. And you know what the word sup means? That he would dine with you. What he's saying is, I'll come into you and have an intimate relationship with you. But you have to open the door. You have to surrender. All you have to do is say, Lord, I hear you knocking. I hear you knocking. And all. And so I'm getting up. I'm going to the door. I'm open. I not crack the door, because you know a lot of people, they got a little peephole. Or, you know, crack the door and got a little chain on it. Put your foot up against the door. No. He wants you to open the door wide. He said, I'll come in and have an intimate relationship, regardless of how you've been living, regardless of what you've done in your past, regardless of what you're even doing now. He said, I'll come in. Let me tell you something. And when he comes in, you have no idea the benefits and the blessings, the peace, the joy. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. You know, you have a lot of past tomorrow. I'll come to Christ and everything be good. He'll take care of. No. It's going to get worse, because the enemy going to hate you. He going to hate you. But greater he that will be in you than he will be in the world, because that Holy Spirit will come within you. You're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, all the benefits. And not only that, the love that abounds. The love that he will pour in you, that no human being can love you the way God can. Period. I don't care how fine your wife might be. I don't care how good looking your husband might be. Don't compare to the love of God. So if you're here this morning, and you want to come and know that you know that you know that the Spirit will dwell within you, if that's you this morning. And let me tell you something. If you're sitting in your seat right now and your heart is beating a little fast, that's a little gentle tug saying, come. All you're burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Have ears to hear. Have ears to hear this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else here this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't miss out what God has for you today. Don't miss out on what God has for you today. Because He has the best for you. Not good, but best. Good is the enemy of best. Don't settle for good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, what God is doing here today, He's looking down and He's seeing the both of you. Because, see, He got up first and you was going to sit there. But you got a little tug. Got a little tug. And brother, you know, I was seeing you sit back there. I saw you when you came in. Do I know you?
No.
I will.
Yeah.
You know that. After the day, we'll know each other for eternity.
Marcus.
What's your name?
Marcus.
Marcus?
Yes.
Pastor Jeff.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you too.
Thank you.
You know, when you come into the family of God, we don't do handshakes. You know that?
Hugs.
There you go. And this young lady right here, she's been, I think it's your third time here. She's military too. Yeah, she's military, you know. And I remember the first time I saw her, you know, she got here real early and then she left out at 10:30. She said, I've been here since 8:30 in the morning. I said, well, and then she came in last week and then she's here today. I said, are you going to come back? You know, she said, of course. Of course. How good is that? How you think that makes me feel? Because some of y'all say, are you coming back? Well, I got eyebrow-itis. Oh, but anyway.
We didn't thank our military.
We will. But anyway, you know, I just want to say, you know, what a blessing it is for all of y'all to be here. What a blessing. And Carmen, this is truly like a blood brother to me. Oh. I mean that. They live across the street from my dad. And whenever my dad needs any help or whatever, Carmen's right there. When my dad was up on the roof here a few weeks ago, shoveling the snow off his roof,
he was
89 years old.
Wow.
Pray for my dad. Anyway, Carmen saw him and ran over there. And he's scared of heights, but he got up there with dad. You know, I love this man here and his wife too, and Jeremy, you know, but anyway. Well, anyway, all of you here today, you know, God will honor this. God will honor this here. Now, have you ever made a confession of faith? Well, if you say, come on, you take that long, come on up here. You have? Okay. All right. Well, anybody else? Me and you. Marcus.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus, I want you to kneel with me.
All right.
And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Okay. And for those of you who are out here, you might wonder, you know, I don't know. Pray the prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today.
Confessing
that I am a sinner.
I'm
asking you, Lord,
to forgive me
of all my sins and to cleanse me
from all unrighteousness.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That He died on the cross.
Shed His blood
for my sins.
He rose again
on that third day.
And He's seated in heaven.
Next to our Heavenly Father.
This day,
I surrender my life.
I accept
the free gift of
salvation
by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, help me up. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, how good is that? This is our new brother, Marcus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay. Yeah. All right, praise the Lord. Now, will we see you again?
Yes, you will.
All right. We heard that, right? Yeah. We have witnesses. Because we need to find out where you live, because we'll come get you. No, I'm just kidding. What you have just witnessed here, not only just for him, but everybody that's here, you know what I mean? You're wanting more and more and more of God in your life. You know, we wanting more of God in our life, you know, and what you're doing here today, you're asking, you're seeking, and you're knocking. And he's going to honor that.
Yep.
He's going to honor that. He's going to give you ears to hear, eyes to see, mind to conceive and move upon your heart the blessings that God has for each and every one. Your life, let me tell you something. From this day forward, you know, to live for him. I'm believing from this day forward, you know, your life. Stand up. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Amen. Prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7:30, Bible study. And then Friday morning. I want to thank all of y'all for being here today. I mean, it really blessed me today. I really thank you. I love you guys. And have a blessed day. Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. We thank you, Father God, for that tug. We thank you for that gentle tug, and some maybe a little bit not so gentle. But Lord, we thank you for letting us know that we know that we know that you are the living Savior. You are the loving God, and that you love us, that we have been adopted and brought into your righteous and holy family. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God. So, Lord, I pray, Father, as we leave out of here today, that we will meditate and think about the things that we have talked about here today, that we will continue to examine ourselves to see where we be of the faith, and that we will always know who we are in Christ and who Christ is within us. So, Lord, I say thank you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church says,
amen.
Amen.